This is actually a very good afternoon because of the purpose that we're here for. The reality of what we're doing is beyond imagination. Many of you here in the room have seen the mailer that we sent, and some have actually heard the radio campaign about this specific seminar, the latest in the seminars called the Kingdom of God seminars, and this one is for May 2014. And there are some questions that we're going to deal with today, some questions and hopefully very quickly answers thereof. And these questions have to do with what occurs to everybody. They're questions of the ages. I can tell you I have an engineering background, and I was confirmed into the largest Protestant church as a child. And suddenly when I came across this information in my years after college, I began to realize I'd never heard this before. So anything about religion that many have heard in other religious environments or philosophies or any educational systems, this was outside of my experience. And maybe I'm just isolated, but I got to tell you, I started to ask questions like, what is your destiny? You know, is there actually anything that you can predict? You know, like, why do you exist? And is there a reason or a purpose for human life at all? And those kinds of questions have been befuddling and confounding the greatest thinkers and philosophers down through the ages. Now, obviously, people have come up with answers because human beings are like that. They'll come up with answers. There's everything from we come back after death as something else, or we float on a cloud after we die with a harp, or we look at the beatific vision, or we're just dead, which is what evolutionists believe, and that's very sad. The reality is, though, there are actual answers, and you can prove it. That's what's really special, but it's different from what we have been told, and it's different from what anyone actually has normally heard. So what is your purpose? Well, first of all, let's take a look at a very simple set of facts. And we all have to understand this from the beginning. Think about being a baby. Go back in your mind to when you were born. But look at how babies are. They are constantly interested in what's going on. How do I get to that? What is that? Why is that there? How does this happen? And they wonder because no one has explained it to them, and they're absolutely pure in their thinking. They don't know why they're here, why they were born, whether they have a destiny or what. They don't know, and they haven't heard the negative sides of all those questions either. And that is how we start out life. We automatically realize we don't know the answers, and we ponder life. We think about what life actually is. A child naturally wonders, where did I come from? You know, and they all joke about the child that goes up to his mother and says, where do I come from? And she goes through a long explanation of the birds and the bees. And then she says, does that answer your question? And he says, yeah, well, I wondered because Frankie's from Philadelphia and I wondered where I come from. So, you know, they ask questions, you have to answer them. And I think actually the answers are pretty good when we get into them. Adults later, especially in life, think, is this physical life all there is? Because now if I stop and I go to sleep or I die or I just end like a rock or a tree or whatever, is that all there is? Well, it's a good question. And we think about that later in life. Does my life have a purpose? We think about that and we wonder, because actually life's mysteries can be opened up. We're not really locked out of them. They really can be opened up. Let's start here. Families are a source of what the information is. What families are, from the birth process all the way through old age and the death, and how they're connected and why they're together, is part of the answer to all this. That sounds awful simple, but believe me, it's way more than our imagination can imagine, than we can conceive. Think about your own existence. Can you see a purpose? Really? I mean, in the darkest of days, can you see a purpose for your own life? We have ups, we have downs. There are mixtures of joys and sorrows. Can you see a purpose in all of that? Do you sense a lasting value in life's work and the challenges and the uncertainties? Because life basically seems, in much of the time that we're alive, just too hard. If there's a supreme being, why is he doing this to me? Why doesn't he tell me what's going on? Why doesn't he help? Okay, well, all right, let's take a look at that. Why were you born? Just why? Let's walk down the street, start asking people, why were you born? Well, I don't know. Or they'll give some canned explanation, which can't be proved. So in the moments that follow, we're going to explore this whole thing. The whole thing. Because actually, there are really answers to all of this. We're going to go to work here. Okay? And the way I look at it, if it isn't simple, it's probably wrong. It should be simple to understand. And the reality of it is, in my view, with my background, it strikes me with the education and the technology that I've dealt with, lots of very complicated things. They shouldn't be. Things should be simple. You know what? The more complicated things are, the way they're being explained to you, it gives the person power who's explaining some complicated thing. As a father plans for his child, the way a father plans for his child, they protect them, they feed them, they educate them, they, quote, bring them up. They're responsible for that child. A father that's responsible, anyway. And as a father does that, as he plans for his child, he's building what? Family. And there's a great big plan being worked out here. In your life, right now, whether you're aware of it, whether you feel it, whether you know about it or not, you will, hopefully, God willing, by the end of this, it's being worked out in your life right now. And it's a remarkable truth. And it's happening for all people. You're not just being singled out necessarily. It's happening for all people. It's going to include everybody. This isn't the way religion talks or a philosophy or education or politics. And the source of this truth is actually available. But it's hidden. Now, it's available, but it's hidden. How do you do that? How do you have something available, but it's hidden? Well, you'll see. All right, look. It's called a mystery. In the best-selling book of all time. It's a mystery. It says that in there. If you feel you've heard all this before, you might be very surprisingly encouraged here. Because you haven't. The chances are you haven't heard it. And if you have, this will explain it better. The bestseller that's seldom read, and you know this, is called the Bible, which that word just means book. And we're going to open it and see in it what most of us in this world have not seen. And if you don't close it back up again, you might actually understand something about yourself and your future and your destiny and your hope that you never understood before. And if you think it's to go to heaven, or if you think it's to come back in a better life, or if you think it's somehow something else, let's see what the book has to say. Great plan's being worked out here. And this is one of the things that's said about this great plan. No eye has seen nor ear heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Just a thought. Since that was written, it was written to people who should have known this. They should have understood this. They were people being written to by Paul in the church at Corinth. But what did Paul actually say? No eye has seen, and no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined. People who were contemporary with Paul as he wrote much of the New Testament said nobody, he includes himself, by the way. Huh. What's he talking about? Well, this plan for you, or you, is revealed in a cycle of biblical observances, which are analogies to the steps of this plan that God's working out for all people who've ever lived. At first, that seems like a long sentence and it's a little complicated, but understand this. God wants people to understand this, so what he did was he gave humanity
this cycle of observances. And they explain what he's doing. The salvation plan includes inheriting all. Now, this is one thing it includes, but it might get our attention. The salvation plan includes inheriting all. Now, if someone were to say to you, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you all. So, you say, well, I guess that includes a lot. Well, what wouldn't be included in all? Cleveland? What's excluded from all? What is included in all? Well, let's think about this. Toward the end of the Bible, it says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son, like a father cares for his son, like a family being formed. He will inherit, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. Ever hear that before? Well, most haven't. Wonder why. This whole thing is actually beyond imagination. This is an example. This is the Andromeda Galaxy. And pretty big. If that scripture is true, if there's a God who can carry it out, would you inherit that? And would you inherit the quasar that made that happen? A single star going nova that's brighter than the entire galaxy? Would you inherit that? Would that belong to you? That's what the scripture says. So this is a little different from the picture that's given to mankind about why we're here. This is different. It's beyond imagination. But wait a minute. The Andromeda Galaxy isn't all things. There's actually a transcendent future here. It's so magnificent in its magnitude and its meaning that it's impossible to really get our minds around it. We can't actually understand this. Now, here's how it works. There's an agricultural cycle and the related events of it that's commemorated in these annual festivals, these annual ceremonies that God gave to all mankind through Israel. And it's a picture, this agricultural cycle, it's a picture of a progressive steps of this great plan for salvation. And once you understand this picture of this great cycle, you'd understand the plan that God has for you. And he says so. He says so. You'll see that, hopefully. So don't ever underestimate the value of your life in this plan, because it is more than we can imagine. It's a transcendent future. So really, what is your destiny? Well, when we think about that, if we can stop texting, if we can stop all the things that keep our mind 3 seconds at a time from thinking deeper, we'll wonder, what is our destiny? Well, we just saw a couple of hints about that. So here's a first question. Let's just think about this. King David in the book of Psalms asked this question. Why is God mindful of mankind? Well, why would he be? I mean, that's a pretty good question. The all-powerful, all-knowing, all-existent, eternal being, why would he think about us? What would be the point? He said, when I consider your heavens, David said, and the work of your hands, the fingers and moon and stars and which you have ordained, what's man that you're mindful of him? Why would you think about him, the son of man that you visit him? Why would you even look at it? Well, without going into the rest of the verses that are in Psalm 8, the answer's right there. But it's almost too much to tell right now. So we'll come to that in a little bit. But here's a way to condense it. He's planned for us an astounding future. He wants to share his very life with us. The biblical festivals demonstrate how he's doing it. Not going to do it, how he is doing it. He's doing it right now. And all the political leaders and all the educators and all the power of every religion or finance institution that ever existed or will won't stop it. It's going on right now. These are some relatively unknown festivals. Let's talk about this. Like the Feast of Tabernacles or Passover, the Days of Unleavened Bread or Atonement. Strange names. Don't hear those. Don't hear those talked about. But interestingly enough, they're New Testament too. They're actually days Christ kept, the apostles kept, and they are to be kept after Christ comes to earth and sets up the kingdom on earth. You can prove that too. There's something very important about these festivals. But, you know, let's talk about celebrations and how celebrations work in society. We all understand them. And, you know, every nation observes patriotic holidays. Like in the United States, we have 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day, you know, Thanksgiving. And those special days actually are reminders of important events in the country's history. And people can actually explain them in many cases. They provide continuity between nations past and their present. And usually people can explain. There may be people who can't explain why we have the 4th of July or why we have Thanksgiving when we do, but they understand it generally. Paradoxically, though, those same citizens can't really or seldom understand the value or much about the days on which they worship and honor God. So, which is more important, the 4th of July or Passover? Well, let's see. Christ was crucified on Passover. 4th of July. Yeah, I understand that better, so it's more important. And what's even more important is all this stuff that keeps our mind from thinking through this and understanding this and meditating on it and learning it keeps us from understanding why we're here and what we're supposed to do about it. These are the biblical festivals of Christ. They're not just biblical festivals in the Old Testament, they're in the New. Surprising to many, the New Testament shows Jesus Christ observing the holy festivals of the Bible. As well, his disciples followed his example in observing many decades after his death, burial, and resurrection. So the theological argument that in fact Jesus Christ kept them because he was a Jew and the holy days were given to Israel doesn't hold water, because not only did he keep them, but so did the apostles and the church for dozens, if not tens of years in the history, in the Bible, in the New Testament. And we can find in the Bible they're being kept after Christ returns to the earth to set up his government. And the apostles' instructions reveal a God who intended that all Christians observe the biblical holy days. And they're not kept by most. And there's a remarkable reason. There's a transition coming. There's a transition about to happen. Look at this. It's in Daniel 12, verse 2 through 3. I have it in the New King James here. And we're going to read it nice and slow so we can get it, because it is beyond imagination. But understand, what Daniel's talking about in Daniel, in the 12th chapter, what he's talking about is the end of this age of misrule of man and the beginning of the kingdom of God on this earth. What did he say about that? And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake a resurrection, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Ever hear that? Why not? It's a pipe dream. It can't be real. God can't mean that. And yet it's all through the Bible. We're just like a rock on a lake, skimming the surface. This is all through the Bible, and it is generally ignored. this destiny beyond imagination. I want to show you something. This is what's called the star nursery in Orion, where this is a cloud of gas, trillions of light years tall. And then this is an animation made from the Hubble Space Telescope. They pointed the Hubble at a point of the sky right there where there's nothing. They pointed at that because they wanted to see if they could find anything. Over a period of weeks, they kept exposing the Hubble camera to that spot. There's nothing there. And then they saw this. It's called the Hubble Deep Field. Now, what's special about this? And they animated it so we can see the depth of it. Well, you're looking at stars. Quadrillions of them. Because the lights aren't single stars. These lights are galaxies. And there are millions of them in the spot that had nothing that we could see. When God tells us we'll shine like the firmament, that we'll be like the brightest stars, that we'll inherit all things, it boggles us. We can't grasp it. And how that works is the holy festivals of God's Word. It's beyond our imagination. And He gives us these holy festival days because He wants us to know about our future. He wants us to know that. He doesn't want to hide this. He reveals it to us as a great purpose for humanity. He made us. He's making us. He's sustaining us. He's saving us. He's building something. It's family. Just like a father does with a child. And He explains why He put you here on earth. He reveals our ultimate destiny, and He tells us what we can do about it, how we can attain it. And the observance of God's festivals provides the key to understanding God's great plan for the future of mankind. They're for us, these festivals. They reveal the unfolding of God's plan for humanity and how He'll establish His kingdom on earth. We don't go to heaven and He comes and returns to earth. Have you ever thought about that? Why would Jesus Christ return while we're all in heaven? Well, what's He going to do? Bring us back? Look, the reality of it is there are those who meet Him in the heavens. As you read in 1 Thessalonians 4, that's the clouds. It actually says, in the clouds. And then they return with Him to the earth. There's a reason for all that, a little bit more to explain that later. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ preached this gospel of the kingdom of God on this earth. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's what it says in Mark 1, 14 and 15. God's design to grant humanity eternal life has existed since the foundation of the world. This isn't something that came up last 20 minutes. This has been going on since there weren't people. And it'll be going on after there aren't people. These biblical festivals are really for us. Let's go to work on this. He wants you in His plan. He doesn't want you outside it. He doesn't want you ignorant of it. That's not like God. God doesn't want us ignorant. He wants us to be participating. He wants you to understand the spring harvest in Israel and the fall harvest in Israel are types of the steps in the plan. I'll show you that in a second. But to understand this changes your life because now the world can't get to you and you can be realizing what you actually are. It's astounding. It's astounding how it changes your life and everyone around you. His master plan. Here's what He says. And by the way, this is from the Revised English Bible. Different translations say this a little different. This is actually easier to understand. He has made known to us His secret purpose in accordance with... Why do I keep calling it the plan? Because He says that. Now, there are other translations. In Greek, it says desire, His desire, or His will. But think about it. or his good for, pleasure. But think about it. If God has the will or if God has the desire, that's what's going to happen. So the easiest way to put it is the plan. In accordance with the plan which he determined before in Christ to put into effect when the time was ripe, namely that the universe and everything in heaven and earth might be brought into unity in Christ. Nothing is going to be outside of the way he lives. In Christ, indeed, we have been given our share of this heritage, as was decreed in his design, whose purpose is everywhere at work. Ever hear that before? Why not? It's important to understand the truth is there, but it isn't open. It's available, but it's hidden. And the holy days, the holy festivals, open that all up. Because Christ is in the festivals. To understand what he was actually doing here and what he's doing now, you have to understand the holy festivals of God. They're not done away. They're not done away because the New Testament came along. If you read about the commands, you'll see them in Leviticus 23. And when you see them, you'll see these are to continue throughout all your generations. And all those generations of those people are still here. All of them are still here. And we can show you that, in fact, that's going on after Christ returns. So he's in the festivals. He's in them. And the plan's happening right now. His holy festivals help us comprehend better his master plan. Actually, in some ways, comprehend it, period. And the way he intends to truly have us become his people is shown in the festivals. But here's the caveat. Knowing about it doesn't help. We'll talk about that later. You have to do something about it. Notice this description of our destiny. This is in Revelation 21, again, toward the end of the Bible. Not at the front end, the back end. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Let's dissect that a second. Everybody knows that religion teaches that God, through the Holy Spirit, lives in people. Does it say that? Notice this. Behold, the tabernacle of God is in men. No, it doesn't. It's with them. And he will dwell in them. No, with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be in them. No, with them. With them. God will be with people. Not just in them, with them. He will dwell with them. And they will be his people like a father teaches a child and prepares and protects and supports a child, a family. And when you look at the New Testament, you start seeing words like brother, church's mother, father, brethren. Let's talk about Christ is in the holy days. Christ is in the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread because that's when his sacrifice happened. And he sacrificed so that we could be forgiven. And the next holy day after Passover and unleavened bread is the time when the Holy Spirit is given to make it possible for human beings to be converted, ultimately transformed. And then the next one in the fall is the Feast of Trumpets, which pictures Christ's return to take over the governments of this world, and then atonement when he removes the god of this world, Satan, and the Feast of Tabernacles that pictures him ruling on earth for 1,000 years, and the eighth day, that shows, in fact, everybody who ever lived given their first chance to understand the truth, unless they understood it now and responded favorably. All the questions get answered. What about the poor Chinese farmer tilling his field by hand with a stone axe, and the missionary gets a flat tire and doesn't get to him in time and tell him about Jesus Christ, and he's going to go to hell for all eternity? What kind of God would you worship that would do a thing like that? This, the holy days, picture what God's really like. How to keep them, why to keep them, what we learn. We're going to cover that next. That comes up next. Part two shows how this all works. God's design to grant humanity eternal life has existed from the very beginning, from the foundation of the world. And your incredible destiny is in the pages of your Bible. It's always been there. And really, really, I mean, take it from me, not that you know me that well, but not take it from me, if you don't want to trust somebody, look for yourself. The biblical festivals are still being observed even after Christ's return. You need to know how to respond to God's plan being worked out for you right now. You need this. You need this. And by the way, we're not going to ask for a thing. No commitment, no money, nothing. This is a public service. It's gratis from us. So we're going to show all that in the second half of the seminar. And we want you to know, not only are we going to do that, we're willing to talk. We're willing to answer questions and have conversations, because I've had some very good ones in these seminars.